Okay, we'll call the meeting order of the State Gov. And look to present House File 3987 with the chief and the co-author. Representative De La Forest?
Yes.
Would you like to move your bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move House File 3987, as it is right now, at least it's unamended, as be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance.
Representative Khan?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the Delete Everything Amendment A081480.
All right.
To put the bill on the state in which we're starting.
Are there any questions? Do you want to explain the amendment at all?
No.
All right.
We'll explain it as we go along.
All right, seeing none, are there any questions for the members?
No, we're just going to put the amendment on, and then we'll have the people who know it to
okay.
That point.
Okay, all in favor of the amendment, A08-1480? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. So now that's in the form of the author and the co-author, do you want to talk about the bill, please?
Well, we'd like to have Ms. Roberts run through the spreadsheet and then Mr. Shepard run through the line.
Members, you have a two-page spreadsheet. The four columns that are showing are the governor's recommendation for the division and then the CARES recommendations, and I'm also showing a difference column from the governor for both the 08-09 current biennium and then the 10-11 tail. And just to start out, I should note at the very bottom of the spreadsheet on page 2, you'll see the reconciliation to the targets. The targets that are probably being adopted in Ways and Means as we speak for this division are the same as the governor's numbers for the division. So a reduction of 21,348 was the target for 2008-2009, and then a further reduction of 32,113,000 for the 10-11 biennium. And the amendment is balanced to the target in 08-09, and it is actually below the target in 10-11 by $4.6 million. It means it's reduced more. But the net impact is lower than the goal set for the division. And starting at the beginning of page 1, the spreadsheet and the bill are both organized into two articles. Article 1 contains the state government finance appropriations, and Article 2 are the military affairs appropriations and related language. Beginning with the legislature, the amendment has a total reduction in 08-09 for the legislature of $1.66 million. This represents a 3% reduction to the '09 funding for the House and the Senate. The LCC does not have a reduction. Going on to the constitutional offices, again, all of the constitutional offices have a 3% reduction, and you can see, I'll walk through them. This is compared to 4% in the governor's recommendations. One note I should make is that the state auditor, the 3% was applied only to the non-reimbursable portion of that office's budget. So the total reductions for the constitutional offices in 08-09 are the total $1.1 million. The breakdown is $113,000 for the governor, $749,000 for the attorney general, $195,000 for the Secretary of State, and then $42,000 for the State Auditor. And again, these are all to the General Fund fiscal year 2009 appropriations for these offices. You'll see a slight variation in the tails for the Secretary of State, and that's due to the way their base is calculated. There are some adjustments related to some small election-related items, and so there is language in the bill specifying the base for that office. Moving on to the state agencies, for the Department of Administration, the total recommended reduction in 08-09 is $1,039,000. That's a net change. It includes one new spending initiative, the preference for veteran-owned businesses, which was the governor's initiative. The amendment from the chair has a smaller appropriation for this compared to the governor of the $88,000, and that's because the language in the bill is more restrictive. The preference applies only to veterans of the current conflict. Moving on to the second operating budget reduction for the Department of Administration, the amendment has a 2% reduction compared to the governor's recommended 4% reduction. And again, you'll see language in the bill. This is related to removing recommended reductions for the Land Management Information Center, also known as LIMIC, and the Environmental Quality Board. And then finally, both the chair's amendment and the governor include the elimination of the Department of Public Safety relocation funding, which was not needed. Moving on to the Office of Enterprise Technology, the chair's amendment has a recommended reduction of 2% to the office's general fund operating budget. That amounts to $157,000 to the fiscal year 09 appropriation. And then moving again down to the Department of Finance, the total expenditures you'll see are $13.2 million. And just to note, this includes an expenditure for an amount that is set in escrow. This is the governor's recommendation related to the Republican National Convention. And I show an offsetting revenue on the bottom portion of the spreadsheet. So this actually nets out to zero, but when you're just looking at either the expenditure or the revenue side, it may kind of jump out at you. But the ongoing reductions included in the amendment for finance are the $624,000 for the Department of Finance operations, and then $218,000 for the DUER operations that are being transferred to finance. And those are broken out in the bill, so I broke them out in the spreadsheet. But the total to the Department of Finance when those operations are combined is $842,000. And finally, moving on to the Department of Revenue. The chair's amendment includes the governor's recommended reduction of 3% to the non-compliance-related activities of the department. So that's a reduction of $1.24 million. The amendment also includes the governor's recommendation for the bank data match, and this $360,000 that you see on line 39 is the appropriation part of that compliance activity. And then in addition, the chair's amendment includes a new compliance initiative which has a 3-to-1 assumed ratio. We had the Department of Revenue in front of the committee, I believe last week, testifying on their previous compliance initiative, that the last one that was funded by the legislature assumed a 5-to-1 initiative. The Department of Revenue has been looking at the numbers, and there's a fiscal note request in the system on this compliance initiative, and I believe that they are going to agree that they can do a 3-to-1 ratio. So you'll see here that this is the appropriation piece. We have to appropriate more money to the department in order to gain the new revenues. And the net impact to the department of all of these changes is a $1.15 million increase to their 09 general fund appropriation. So for Article 1, the total expenditure changes for the general fund appropriation are $10.35 million. Moving on to the second page, again, this is Article 1, general fund revenue changes. On line 47, you'll see the $14 million. That's the revenue piece of the Republican National Convention guarantee. The second item on line 48, again, identical to the governor, is the $10 million in anticipated new revenues from the bank data match program. On line 49, you'll see the, here's where the additional revenues from the chair's compliance revenue are noted for $6,090,000, and that nets out to new general fund revenues of $4,060,000 when you net the new expenditures against the expected new revenues. And finally, on line 50, under general fund revenue changes, is a $2 million one-time cancellation from the facilities repair and replacement account in the Department of Administration. This would be a transfer from that special revenue account to the general fund. And real briefly, what that fund is, there's a portion of the rent that Department of Administration charges to the buildings in the Capitol Complex that is deposited in the Special Revenue Fund for the use for repair and asset preservation projects at those buildings. And this would take a portion of the revenue that's in that account and cancel it one time to the general fund. And so you'll see the total revenue changes in the amendment are $32.1 million, and the net general fund change for Article 1, offsetting the revenues against the expenditures, is a reduction or a gain to the general fund of $21.7 million. Moving on to Article 2, Military Fairs. First looking at the general fund portion, the chair's recommendation in 08-09 is identical to the governor's recommendation for the first three initiatives, the state navigators, the medic requalification bonus, and the employer supportive guard and reserve. I'll note on line 62 that the amendment, and Mr. Shepherd will note this when he goes through it, does include the language for the spouse use of the tuition reimbursement program, but we didn't include the base adjustment. And I can let the chair explain her reasoning on that, but this is a program that the enlistment incentives program does allow the adjutant general to sort of manage the enlistment incentives that are offered and the level that they're offered within the funding level that is appropriated for that program. So that you only will see a difference for the governor in the tails portion in the 10-11 numbers for that item. Moving on to the general fund revenue changes, the chair's amendment does not include the recommended change to the Camp Ripley Land Fund, which would allow the Department of Military Affairs to take over the timber management and keep the revenues from that activity within a special revenue account for their own use. Right now, the DNR is in charge of that, of those activities. And finally, there's just a $1 million revenue loss for a bill that the division heard represents Tilbury's waiver of a reinstatement fee. And that brings the net general fund change for the Department of Military Affairs in 08-09 to $391,000, an increase of the 08-09 appropriation. And then finally, real quickly on the special revenue fund changes, these don't impact the target for the committee because they are special revenue funds, but you'll again see that the governor's recommendation for the Camp Ripley Land Fund is not included in the amendment. And then there's also a recommendation to lift the cap on the Support Our Troops license plate program. That's a program where the revenues for the Support Our Troops license plates are actually split between the Department of Military Affairs and the Department of Veterans Affairs for various uses. This division has the piece that relates to Department of Military Affairs. Currently, there's a direct appropriation from that account, which means the departments are limited to the amount of that direct appropriation. And the governor had recommended, and the bill does include moving from a direct appropriation to a statutory appropriation, which means that Military Affairs and Veterans Affairs would be able to use the full amount of the revenues if they exceed the amount of the direct appropriation. So, for example, if right now we had a $380,000 appropriation, but the revenues actually exceeded it, those departments couldn't use that additional revenue, but moving to a statutory appropriation would allow them to use the full amount of the revenues that come in. And then finally, lines 84 through 89 reconcile or add up the changes that are in Article 1 and Article 2. And you'll see the total general fund expenditure changes are $10.7 million. This is offset by new general fund revenues of $32.1 million. And so the net effect is a gain to the general fund resulting from the offset, mostly from the offsetting revenues of $21.3 million in 08-09, and that does balance out to the target set for the division. I'll answer any questions.
I guess, Mr. Chairman,
I mean, I
think there was only one thing that was left hanging of why I didn't put that spouse program in the tails, and actually we could if we want. The point was it was a new program. We have no idea of how much it's going to be used. And if it looks as if after some study that there will be a lot of need for it, we can clearly fund it next year.
Members, have any questions? Representative Diggum?
Mr. Chair, and this may be for the original bill about the Republican National Convention.
this may go to Representative De La Forge, is the extending the bar hours in this part. I think it's Representative Zeller. I'm being serious.
If someone had suggested it, we probably would have put it in.
Madam Chair, is an amendment date?
Yeah, we can. If someone wants to do that, we can think about it.
Representative Hartman?
Representative Bingham, I understand that Senator Side was the Senate author and that she withdrew the bill in the Senate, and so I don't know that issue about extending the bar closing is proceeding.
Okay.
Representative Bingham?
I was just asking because the original bill was here was about the Republican National Convention, so I thought we were doing that too, but which is amended, and I knew that was a discussion topic in the papers, and I didn't know if it was in here in some writer language. So the answer is no, it's not in this bill.
But
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kahn.
Two of us are just actually kind of amazed that Representative Bingham is even a little more creative than we can be in her first year. So we'll see. Thank you.
She's been known to be very creative. Any other questions, members? Anybody from the audience? Mr. Shepard, are you going to present the language now on the bill?
Mr. Chair, yes. I'll be working off of the bill itself, or the Chair's amendment, the A08-1480, starting on page 5. All of the language on the first 4 pages, I believe Ms. Roberts has explained, they all implement spreadsheet items. On pages 5 and 6, sections 12 and 13 work together. These section 13 provides that the compensation for classified employees of the Office of the Legislative Auditor will be governed by a plan that's prepared by the auditor and then approved by the Legislative Coordinating Commission and eventually by the full legislature in the same manner that executive branch contracts and compensation plans are approved. And Section 12 relates to that by amending the law governing the LCC to require that to review and approve, reject, or modify this plan for the legislative auditor. This would take effect January 1, 2009. Section 14 is the section that Ms. Roberts mentioned earlier. The committee heard this bill previously. This provides that if a business organization is dissolved because it failed to file a report with the Secretary of State because one of the individuals responsible for its operations was in active military service, that the reinstatement fees have to be waived by the Secretary of State. Section 15 is what the section that was in the governor's proposal also that the committee heard about last week. This is the tax debtor data matches. It requires the Commissioner of Revenue to establish a process for comparing account information held by financial institutions with the Department of Revenue's database of debtors. And the section goes on to contain much of the administrative and implementing language that's needed to do this. That carries all the way through pages 8 and 9 and over to the top of page 10. Section 16 on page 10 is the section that Ms. Roberts mentioned. It has a spreadsheet item associated with it. This has to do with the state purchasing program. It adds as a targeted group that receives preference under the program businesses that are majority owned and operated by veterans who served in Operation Enduring Freedom or Operation Iraqi Freedom. And there's an appropriation that goes along with this to administer the new program. Section 17 at the bottom of page 10 and continuing all the way on page 11, 12, and actually all the way over to page 13 and the top, all of page 14, all is a bill that the committee heard last week. It's Representative Winkler's bill, 3770, I believe, relating to the Office of Enterprise Technology. It provides that the state agency information and technology project that costs more than $1 million has to be registered with OET before project funding is requested. It then requires reporting to OET on project status, monitoring by OET of projects that cost more than $1 million. It requires independent audits based on a determination of advisory council and independent audits for projects over $5 million. It also requires the Chief Information Officer in the office to report annually regarding the office's review of state agency telecommunication and technology system and development efforts. This review would include the current status of each project and the rationale that the office used for making its determination on each project. Section 18 is just a definition of the total expected project cost for purposes of the dollar thresholds I just mentioned. And Section 19 also relates to the same topic. It requires each state agency to have a strategic information technology plan, and it requires OEP to annually report to legislative committees with jurisdiction over the office regarding the plan. And that carries all the way through the bottom of page 14. The very last line on page 14 and the first line of page 15 has to do with the Legislative Commission to End Poverty in Minnesota by the year 2020. It extends the sunset date of this commission. Instead of December 31st, 2008, it would be June 30th, 2009. Section 21 on page 15 has to do with the 2007 HAVA, Help America Vote Act appropriation, and it provides that the amount necessary to meet the federal requirements for interest payments and the additional match is transferred from the general fund appropriation to the HAVA account. The division heard testimony on this bill earlier. Section 22 at the top of page 16, again, is amending a 2007 appropriation. Last year, the legislature enacted a law that created an Office of Grants Management. It required that in the upcoming fiscal year, the Commissioner of Administration would deduct up to $125,000 from state grants to non-governmental entities to fund the office. This doesn't change the amount, but it provides that the $125,000 subtraction would come from state grants to non-state entities instead of non-governmental entities. So this $125,000 would be spread a little bit more, a little bit differently. On page 16, line 10 and 11, there's a reference to grants that are subject to Minnesota Statute 16B.97. The most common category of grants that are not subject to that would be capital grants, bonding grants to units of local government. So this money would not be subtracted from those kind of grants. Turning over to the bottom of page 17 and the top of page 18, section 23, this requires the governor to reduce by 25% the total number of deputy commissioners, assistant commissioners, positions in where an executive agency has discretion to create unclassified positions at the policy level, and the governor's office personnel supported by interagency agreements. That would be an aggregate 25% reduction to that, the sum of those types of positions by June 30th, 2009. Page 18, section 24 is also a bill the committee heard last week. This authorizes the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board to retain proceeds from the condemnation of parklands for the related to the reconstruction of I-35W. These proceeds, exactly as within the bill you heard last week, would be deposited into a parkland acquisition account and would be used solely to acquire land for public park purposes adjacent to the river. Section 25 is the effective date for Article 1. Article 2 is the military affairs statutory provision. The first section is a summary of appropriation. The second section on page 19 is the appropriations that Ms. Roberts mentioned when she went through the spreadsheet. Section 3, as Ms. Roberts mentioned, is a standing appropriation of the amount in the Support Our Troops account, in equal shares to the Department of Military Affairs and the Department of Veterans Affairs. Section 4 broadens permissible uses of the funds in this account to include family readiness groups that are chartered by the Adjutant General. Section 5 at the bottom of page 20 and continuing over to the top of 21 authorizes the Adjutant General to establish an enhancement program for the employer support of the Garden Reserve program. This is a federally funded, state-administered program that encourages businesses to support employees who belong to National Guard and Military Reserve. Section 6, Ms. Roberts mentioned in her review of the spreadsheet, is the medic recertification bonus program. It authorizes the Adjutant General to provide a recertification bonus to National Guard members who recertify as EMTs in the National Guard. Section 7 is the tuition and textbook reimbursement change that Ms. Roberts mentioned. It authorizes the use of a portion of a National Guard member's unused tuition reimbursement program by the member's spouse for a member who's serving beyond the standard initial 8-year enlistment contract. Section 8 at the bottom of page 21, the top of 22, removes a 2011 statutory sunset date for the Campus Representatives Assistance Program for veterans on Minnesota public higher education campuses. Section 9 deals with a appropriation in a 2007 law for a study measuring improvement in academic achievement as a result of the STAR-BASE program. It provides that this appropriation is available until June 30th, 2009, and it requires the Department of Military Affairs to contract with the Wilder Foundation to conduct the study. I believe the committee discussed this last week as well. Section 10 requires the Adjutant General and the Department of Military Affairs to study participation by the National Guard in the National Guard Youth Challenge Program. This was another bill that was presented to you last week. And Mr. Chair, that concludes the overview of the statutory language.
Thank you, Mr. Shepard. Members, any questions? Audience? Representative Kahn, Representative LaForest.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we've got a good starting point here for a bill. Senator Representative Kahn, I hear the number so much from revenue, both in tax committee and here, that it seems to me, if I recall, compared to historical standards, that we've got a reasonable amount left in terms of tax compliance at a 3-to-1 ratio. Does revenue want to weigh in, or have they weighed in? And I don't recall the testimony regarding the feasibility of booking the compliance numbers.
They usually, Mr. Chairman, they usually prefer us not to do it, but when we looked at the data that they gave us and how well they've done so far, we're pretty confident that they can do it.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Kahn, on the usage of the tuition and textbook reimbursement grant program for the spouses, does the military person that's serving, do they have to get permission that some of their credits would be used by their spouse, or how does that work?
Mr. Chairman, I think it's only if unused by them. I don't think, what page is the language up? And you're right, we ought to. See if they're unused, it goes to them, and if they're unused tuition reimbursement program.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, so it's just a situation where after they've come home and they've used some of it and whatever's left over then. So it's not that the spouse could access it while they're serving overseas. Okay.
No, they're unused. And it's kind of a good. Actually, if I could, my father, who served in World War II as a doctor, when he came home and got full access to the GI Bill, which of course he didn't really need, and what he proceeded to do was take art classes for the next 20 or so years, which was obviously very good for him and perfect thing to do, but it's the kind of thing. It might have paid my college tuition if that had been allowed at that time.
Representative Kahn, you're not asking for that now.
No. No, but I'm just pointing out that there are cases where people are allowed to have this tuition reimbursement that it might not be useful to them.
Representative Bingham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a question for staff. How much money did we save by dissolving DUER, and where was that reflected? Was that in did we account for that? Where?
Mr. Roberts?
Sorry.
Mr. Chair, Representative. Usually I just bring the spreadsheet from last year and I have it in my file. We did account for some savings from the merger of most of the functions of sewer into Department of Finance. Some of the functions actually have been moved to Department of Administration, and a small, very small piece went to the Department of Health. And I believe that the reduction that we counted last year was 500,000, but if you give me a minute, I can look it up.
You can get it to me at a different point.
Mr. Chair and representing them, actually, the total reduction that we counted in last year's take government finance bill for the 08-09 biennium was 600,000. It's 250 in the first year and 350 in the second year, and that would carry forward into 10-11.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, members? So we'll lay this bill over until tomorrow for any action on that bill, on the bill tomorrow. Members, we also have to approve the minutes of March 4th and March 11th. They're in your packet. Representative Bigham?
I'll approve the minutes from March 4th.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. He knows, President Hilty, we almost gaveled down, but go ahead.
Perhaps you'd like a motion to approve the minutes from March 11th, in which case I would make that motion.
Thank you. I thought we did that. Okay. Any questions on that? First one, I guess, is March 4th. All right. So all in favor of March 11th minutes approval, say aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Any other business or questions? Meeting adjourned.